Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon. Today is the first Sunday of three of the series that I'm talking about finances. And so this is the day when everybody outside of church is happy because the church, all they do is talk about finances. Well, finally, here we are talking about finances. I don't have a problem talking about finances and finances in church. There are extremes, right? There are churches that's seemingly all that they talk about, and then there are churches that don't talk about it at all. But I think we need to have a voice, because God does, into finances and into stewardship. And so the three-week series I'm going to talk about today is about financial freedom. Next week is about financial faithfulness, and the following week is about financial fruitfulness. And so we're going to talk about finances. My heart in this is I want it to be helpful, not hurtful. I want this to be helpful because I think God's word is helpful and it can be very practical for us. But some of us are in places where finances are really tight and it's a struggle, and we have too much month for our money. Right? The month ends before our money. Our money ends before the month ends. And so today I'm going to talk about a principle. And when I say about it being helpful, I think if anything I would hope that you could hear is you don't need to do this on your own. You don't need to do this on your own. We're going to ask the Lord to help us. Remember when I talked about we need a Savior? We need the Lord to help us. And so if you're here and I talk about finances and all of a sudden your stress level goes through the roof, or your anxiety, and your finances are in trouble and you just really hope that nobody knows it, we're not going to out anybody. You don't have to be uncomfortable, and there's no sledgehammer to make anybody feel bad. But we do need to talk about stewardship and how we handle our finances. It plays a big part in society. And one of the things that can happen with finances, and I know I have fallen into this trap, and many of us have fallen into the trap, and some of us have jumped into the trap. And that has to do with debt. And it has to do with we are influenced so much by society, who continues to talk to us about getting into debt and getting into more debt. Listen to the radio. I heard an ad about, we can consolidate all of your loans so you can borrow more money because you deserve. And man, I was mad at the radio. Paul will say this in Romans chapter 7. For the good that I will do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, then I practice. It means there are things that he doesn't want to do, but he ends up doing. And there are things that he'd really like to do, and he doesn't do them. And it's this frustration of, I want to live better, I want to do better. And man, I mess up. And he'll come to this place in that same text, and he'll say, who's going to help me? And he points to Jesus. Jesus can save me from this. I can't do it on my own. Jesus will help me. And then he comes to this place, and he says, therefore, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Watch verse 1 and 2 of Romans. It says this: there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And sometimes we quote, and sometimes we misquote that scripture. Oh, there's no condemnation in Christ. And it's not this license to sin. We can do whatever we want, and there's no condemnation. If you read the text, it says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus who don't walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. If we're in Christ, we're following him. It says there's no condemnation. Condemnation, it's a tricky thing. Condemnation can be something about, if there's a specific failure, we can feel bad. I blew it. I messed up. And condemnation can also be vague and can be general. There's this weight of guilt and shame on us. Something specific, boy, I really blew it. Or I don't enough. And whatever the enough is, I don't pray enough. I don't read my Bible enough. I don't give enough. I don't whatever enough. And the enough is a no-win situation. But there's a condemnation that just rests upon us. How do you even repent from that, from enough? What is enough? And it's this ambiguous weight that the enemy loves to lay upon the people of God. You are not good enough. You don't follow enough. You don't on and on. And this condemnation can settle on us. So sometimes it's very specific, and sometimes it's very ambiguous. It's just not enough. But there's a difference between something that is a healthy conviction. There are things we need to feel bad about. But Scripture talks about a godly conviction that leads us, a godly sorrow leads us to repentance. It doesn't just make us feel bad. And when we repent, then there's forgiveness. And when there's forgiveness, then there's cleansing. And when there's cleansing, then there's freedom. It's this pattern. It's a gift of repentance God gives us. First, there's this gift of conviction. Thank God he convicts us and just doesn't let us get away with it all. He convicts us, and then we repent, and then we're forgiven, and then we're cleansed, and then we're free. Condemnation leaves you in sorrow and sadness and just what a mess I've made. Conviction provides a way out, and that's through repentance. And so as I share about even conviction and repentance, the word repentance, it means this. It means to go in the other direction, but specifically it means to change your mind for the better, to have a change of mind for the better. And this morning, I think of that verse in Romans 12, 1 and 2, where it talks about that we're not conformed to the image of this world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. We need to think differently. And so our perspective this morning is going to come from God's word. For some of us this morning, when we talk about finances, when we talk about debt, it may be a simple, a little correction. You know, when you drive a car, I thought when I was little, you just hang onto the steering wheel and go straight. That's it. You're always making corrections, just little adjustments. And for some of us, I think that's what this will be. We're just going to make some little adjustments. For others, it may be, man, we're going in this direction. I need to take that off ramp, take the bridge, and come back and go in the other direction. I know where I've been going, and I need to turn around and go the other way. For some of us, it may be, I got no idea. I need to pull off the road, and I just need to stop, come to a dead stop, and then begin to figure some things out. As we talk about, and I believe the Lord's going to help all of us in it, as we talk about kingdom finances, when we think about a kingdom, a kingdom is where a king reigns. So at the end of my talk this morning, I want to pray a prayer with you to invite the kingship, the lordship, the reign of Jesus into our lives in regards to our finances. Jesus, we want you to reign in every area. We've already prayed that. We're going to pray specifically. We want you to reign in our finances. And so as we're part of the kingdom of God, as we're in the kingdom, we need to understand how kingdom finances work, because they work differently in his kingdom than in the kingdoms of this world. In fact, even in some of the world's kingdoms, if we can refer them as that, finances work differently. On our 30th anniversary, Audrey and I went to Italy. And while we were there, we made some servers, waiters and waitresses very happy. Because after a meal, we would tip. Oh, thank you. And it wasn't a big tip, and whatever, but they were so grateful. Thank you so much. Until we discovered you don't tip in Italy. It's already included. And so if you want, hey, would you like some water? Yes, please. Still or fizzy? Okay, sure, that'd be nice. And would you like some bread with your pastor? Audrey would say to me when we were there, pasta, pasta, pasta. would you like some bread with your pasta? Duh. Yes. But then you get the bill and you discover that every water, there's a service charge. Every bread, there's a service. There's a charge for service. And so the tipping is already included. Well, we didn't know that. We were in a different kingdom. Well, what about here? What about here in Canada? Do you pay before you eat your meal? We go out for a meal. Do you pay before or after?
After.
Depends where you are. Right? McDonald's? You pay before you even get your food. Boston Pizza? You pay after you get your food. It depends where you are. And so when we talk about kingdom finances, we need to remember what kingdom we're in. We're in the kingdom of God. And I want to be careful. I'm not looking to offer any financial advice. There's lots of financial advisors. What I want to do is look at God's word together. And the starting point of this series is to talk about getting out of debt, or at least being headed getting out of debt. And I have such hope for this moment. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're watching online. I have such hope for this moment because it's part of my heritage. I don't remember the story. I was little. I was born in 67. Yes, I was born in the 1900s. I was born in 67, and so I don't know what year it had happened with my dad, and I just vaguely know the story, but I remember him hearing a sermon, or telling about hearing a sermon. And he made the commitment, and I think the date's valid, you would know more. It was a phrase like, debt-free in 73. Debt-free in 73. And he made that commitment in a church service. And by 1973, he was debt-free. Now, he was a carpenter, and he had, you know, he'd build a house and sell it, and build a house and build a house and sell it. And that's how he did it. I can't even build a Lego house, you know, so that's not going to be an answer for me. But it gives me such hope that I know he was in a service where God spoke and said, I've got a pathway for you. And I feel like this morning I thought, God's going to help us today in a direction for our finances. Here's some things that the Bible talks about. Romans 13:8 we're going to look at. The Bible does not teach that it's a sin to borrow. Romans 13:8 says this, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. That is not talking about finances. It's talking about relationships. Look at the context. It's, Bible says, oh, no one anything. Don't use that verse for that. It is about relationship, that I am not indebted to you, that you are not, we don't live indebted to each other relationally. Even when Jesus taught us to pray the model prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's not talking about finances. Other versions will say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's relationship. It's not, we are not going to live indebted to one another. In fact, Jesus didn't even come to have us indebted to him. Well, look what the Lord has done for you. You owe him. He gave his life for you. You owe it to him to live for you. There used to be a phrase, and I remember as a teenager, there was a song about it. I think DeGarmo and Key or DC Talk talked about, he died for me, I'll live for him. And it was just, he didn't come to put us in debt, not even to him. Salvation is a free gift. Now, there are warnings against borrowing, but it doesn't say that it's a sin to borrow. Now, if the Lord has convicted you about borrowing and you borrow, then that is a sin, but it's not a sin of borrowing, it's a sin of disobedience. Because God will speak to us specifically about things. And it's not a sin to lend. You will be the lender and not the borrower. Look at what Psalm teaches us. Psalm 112, verse 5. A good man deals graciously and lends. It's not causing somebody else going to sin. Good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. And Deuteronomy says, talking to the people of God, for the Lord your God will bless you just as he promised you. You shall lend to many nations and you shall not borrow. You shall reign over many nations and they shall not reign over you. It's very interesting that even in that context, there's such a connection between lending and borrowing, between being reigning and being reigned over. And Jesus will teach us, if you do lend, do so expecting nothing in return. I don't know one bank who's ever read that verse. Look, Luke 6:35. Can you imagine? But love your enemies, do good, and lend. hoping for nothing in return, your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. There's something that I'll just share with you out of my life. And in fact, I've chosen not even to lend. Here's the reason. I don't ever want to be in the master-servant relationship with someone. But people will come and they will ask me, can I borrow something? My response is always this: if I can't do it, you know, can I borrow $100? I can't lend you $100, but I can give you $20. I can't do that, and we're not going to enter into this kind of debted relationship. But what I can do is I can give you this with no strings attached. But the Bible doesn't teach this, that it's a sin to borrow. There are lots of people, voices that will even counsel you about investing, borrowing to invest, but what the Bible does say is you don't know what tomorrow holds. And don't say we're going to go to this place and we're going to do this and we're going to make, and it specifically says, and we're going to make a profit. There's a bottle depot in Airdrie. They have a sign there, and I just absolutely love it. It says, we're a nonprofit business. We didn't intend it that way. It just kind of worked out. Isn't that life? The Bible doesn't teach if you borrow, God will bail you out. Sometimes there are marvelous stories and testimonies, and we hear of that, but they're rare. He gives us free will. And when you choose to borrow, you are entering into having the responsibility to pay it back. I want to talk about two hidden costs of borrowing. Number one, it will cost you your freedom to choose. It will cost us our freedom to choose. The Bible teaches us that the borrower is a slave to the lender. Look at what Proverbs says. Proverbs 22, verse 7. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is a servant or a slave to the lender. And verse 21 of Psalm 37 says this: the wicked borrows and does not repay. Well, we are not wicked people. And when we borrow, we are agreeing that we will repay. If it's a handshake, if it's a pledge, if it's a signature of a credit card, if it's a tap, if it's a PIN number entered, whatever it is, we are saying we will be faithful to repay this. And as you increase your financial commitments, you decrease your financial freedom. You cripple your giving, you cripple your helping, because your finances are already committed. God doesn't ask you to give what you don't have. We're going to talk about that, about tithing, next week. God does not ask you to give what you don't have. But being in debt and making those commitments, it cripples our ability to have resources to give, to help. And then secondly, it costs you the miraculous. What I mean by that is when we take things into our own hands, I know what, here's the answer, I will borrow. Instead of saying, Lord, I'm looking for your provision, because your word says that you are able to reach. It says that you'll supply all of my need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And to wait and prayerfully look for the miraculous. Anyone who wants to charge you 18% is not your friend. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The other thing that scripture talks about is the dangers of co-signing. And those two costs are still there for co-signing. You're signing on for somebody else's debt, and you're being responsible for that. It ties up your resources, and it bypasses the miraculous possibility, not only in your life, but in their life. Proverbs 11:15 says this: whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer, but he who refuses to shake hands in a pledge is safe. That's the issue of co-signing. If you co-sign, you're accepting the debt. Which is interesting, because if the bank is saying no, and the credit card company is saying no, the credit card company who exists to lend you money is saying no to that risk. We've just got to be so wise. Financial freedom, get out of debt. God gives us the ability to determine our direction. And so this morning, as we come to this place, remember I said we're looking for God to help us. No condemnation, but just, where are we? God, I need you to help me. Are you going into debt, or are you coming out of debt? The reality is we don't get into debt overnight, mostly. and we don't get out of it overnight. And there are crises that happens. And I know there are people here. Emergencies have happened. Medical things have happened where there are such huge medical bills or medical conditions where you can't work and lose that income. There's death, there's divorce, there's the economy, there's job loss. So many things happen. But the point of the message is, which way are you facing? Where is your direction in regards to debt? And so this morning, I'd just like to come to a place of consecration and commitment and say, Lord, I'm going to walk out of debt. I can't do it on my own. I need your help. I mean, look at my bank, look at my commitments, look at my income. It doesn't, on paper, it doesn't work, but I'm not looking on paper. I'm looking to you to walk me out of debt. Which way will you face today? There will be, and I know as we pray, and this is just the transparency. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to walk out of debt, but it's also hard to be in debt. So we get to choose our hard. There are things that we just come before the Lord, and it's not my assignment to look at your budget. The church got in huge trouble in the 80s with the discipleship movement and all of that. That is not my role to look at your budget, because we can always find money in somebody else's budget to save. It's kind of like... an easy payment is a payment out of someone else's account. There's no such thing. But I remember so much. I've had so many conversations with people in marriage counseling struggling, where finances is such a big part. And I remember one guy saying to me, well, I'm not going to live without the sports channel. And no condemnation. It's a big part of his life. Okay. But you could save. I counseled a couple years ago with finances, and one of the things that I always talk to people about is first you got to figure out where you're spending your money, what your income is and where you're spending your money. So I had them track where they spend their money. And they were shocked to discover, and this was a number of years ago, they were shocked to discover that they spent $600 a month at 7-Eleven. Right, he stopped, she stopped with some frequency, and it doesn't take long, and we found $600 in their budget. There's another couple who spent $500 a month, and that's only $1.25 a week, right? That who spent $500 more a month than they brought in, but they did it for 5 years. And they were in debt, consumer debt, $30,000 with nothing to show for it. And it just has to do with direction and awareness. Some of it, we don't even know we're doing it, but when we stop and take inventory of our stewardship, we're able to see, okay, there's not enough. See, what I believe is there is a war for your freedom. There's a war for your financial freedom, and there are lots of voices saying, buy this, do this, get into debt. There is a war. And I love one of the old World War II sayings. They had this slogan, use it up, wear it out, make it last, go without. There was a different mindset, a different in culture is we can make it do. So I don't know where you are in your finances, but my hope is before we get to tithing and offerings and before we get to first fruits and before we get to financial fruitfulness in the next couple of weeks, is that we're able to come to a place and say, Lord, I want to consecrate my finances to you and I don't want to go into debt. I want to have the financial choice to be able to be a blessing. I want to be able to choose. And maybe you're here this morning and say, Barry, I have no choice. I'm in such debt and I'm in trouble. Remember, we started this talk by saying, God's going to help. We're looking to him. And I mean, there was a lady in the Old Testament who was in trouble. Her husband, the prophet who was serving God, he died, but they had racked up so much debt and they owed so much that people were coming to take her kids, that they were going to work off the debt. And another prophet came to her and said, here's what you do. Go gather, borrow from all your friends empty vessels, empty jars. And the little oil that you have, you're going to pour that into the jars. And so as her sons collected all of these jars, poured the oil, just a little oil, poured it into a jar, filled it up, bring the next jar, poured it. And all of these jars filled up with oil. And when the last jar was done, the oil ran out. And the prophet said, okay, now do this. Go sell all the oil, pay off your debt, and live on the rest. And what I love about that story is not only the miracle, but she was able to return every one of those jars. It didn't place her in another point of debt. They didn't help her with finances. They helped her here. I've got some jars. Okay. And the miracle took place, and she didn't increase her debt as she came out of debt just because the Lord intervened. And that's my hope and prayer for us, is that we won't increase our debts. God will show us creative ways to get out of debt, to have that financial freedom that he has for us. Here's the promise. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. We're going to ask God, would you show us the path of life? Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he, God, delights in his way. The delight of the Lord, he wants to show you the path. He wants to show us a pathway out. And the last is Proverbs 4:18, then we're going to pray. It says, but the path of the just or the righteous is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter to the perfect day. And what that's saying is it's not like a light switch that just flips on. Boom, it's noon. Look how bright the sun is. He's saying the path of the righteous, it's step by step. It's 8 a.m., it's 9 a.m., it's 10:30, it's 11:45. There it is, the fullness of day. And I believe that's what God has for us. It's not a switch that just flips. Boom, we're out of debt. It's okay, we're taking a step on the path the Lord has for us. He's going to see us through. He's going to bless us. He's going to provide for us as we dedicate. Lord, we're walking out of this because your kingdom, you're going to have us being the lender, not the borrower. Let's go ahead and pray. God, we thank you that there's no shortage in your kingdom. And even though this morning we can look at our finances and see how finite they are and too much month for our money, some of us are struggling and it's tough to even make the interest payments. Jesus, we're inviting your reign into our lives now. Your kingdom finances. Jesus, would you reign in our finances? God, we don't want to look to anywhere else as our source. You're Jehovah Jireh. You're the God who provides. And so, God, we're not just looking for an immediate panic button press that there's a windfall of money. God, you will provide a way out. And so, God, I pray you'd open our eyes as we consecrate our lives and say, Jesus, reign in our finances, that you'll provide a way out of debt for us. God, that our creditors would not rule over us. God, you would free us. Just like you brought the children of Israel out of bondage, that debt that is a bondage on us, God, would you show us how to walk out of this? God, you did it for Israel. There were 10 plagues that came, and God, just the deliverance that we saw, how great you are, that you can get us out of any bondage. God, we pray that you would show us the steps to take, the path of the righteous, step by step by step. God, at any point where you convict us, God, we want to repent and change our mind and head in the opposite direction. Lord, if we've made a mistake, if we need to get out of something that we got locked into, God, would you show us a way to do that? God, anything where we're spending money on that is keeping us from paying off our debts, God, we want to be a people who are faithful. We're not wicked people. We want to be faithful to pay off our debts. God, teach us, show us how to do that as we head in the direction of financial freedom. Your word says that you're our shepherd and we shall not want. And so, God, we don't look to this world to provide for us. We look to you, our shepherd. You say that you will lead us. In Psalm 23, you're our shepherd and you will lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though we can be surrounded by enemies and creditors and a society, God, you'll prepare a table for us in the presence of our enemies, and you will lead us in the path of righteousness. You have an anointing, an oil that will be placed on us, and our cup can run over with your blessings. So God, we pray. God, I pray for each person here. You would lead us out of debt. Your word says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow. And so God, where there has been sorrow over debt, I pray your blessing, and you'd provide a way out. And in it, we can just have a really good testimony to the world. The world can learn from the church how to handle finances. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.